he looks like down and to the left and looks, you know, like stricken and goes, yeah, I know Love Island.
Like he's been hurt by Love Island. Like Love Island has personally victimized him.
Exactly. Thank you so much. That was a perfect. And I go like, I'm like, oh boy.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Finding Mr. Hyde, the podcast. I'm Allie, back with my co-host Rourke. Rourke, it is our 75th episode today.
Oh my God, how cute. Yeah. Wow. We are rapidly aging.
Seriously.
Thank God for apostrophe.
Yeah, right? A little extra plug for them.
Yeah. That's amazing. And okay, so honestly, well-timed, because the first thing I wanted to talk about is to debrief our live Patreon episode a little bit.
Yes.
How fun was that?
It was so fun. I'm so happy that somebody posted a picture of it because I meant to take a picture of it and fully
I was
forgot.
Two in the moment.
Yes. Which reminds me, I'm doing a vlog today. Will you record a little video?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Should I just like talk normally? Or,
or wave or whatever you want to do.
Okay, great.
Hi. Okay, thank you. Yeah, I've had a lot of shit going on. Wait, before we do that Patreon episode.
Cute. Fun. So fun. I'm so glad that like – so a couple people – so we asked people to submit – non-anonymous questions that would feel comfortable coming up kind of quote unquote on stage on the Zoom and talk some stuff out with us. And they did. It was amazing. It worked so well.
So great.
My friend Matt stepped in for one question, which was absolutely hilarious. It was just like hilarious. It was so good. I'm like smiling so much.
Also, I forgot to tell you that while I was talking to Matt with the patron listener who was up on quote unquote stage, one of the patrons that we had answered before who wasn't there came.
She was late. Bummer.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it was super fun. Great to like have some face-to-face interaction with listeners, which was awesome.
Yeah.
And also like the chat was really fun during it. And people were like – and people from the Discord were like, everybody, if you like this chat, you should join the Discord. And so many people have. I'm excited to
amazing.
Check that. Yeah, I'm excited to check our Discord stats for next month because the welcome channel of the Discord has been popping off.
Amazing. I love that. I also really enjoyed – so also just so people understand too, like while the live show is not an additional tier, I definitely told – I told a story that is being edited out of the audio version that is going into your feed even if you are a patron and missed the live. So, yes. You know – Get me in a live scenario and I just say shit. So
you never know what might happen.
So that happened.
Yeah, but which anyway. There are occasionally times when we've edited things out.
Yes.
Of Patreon
usually episodes. Names
Very
for Patreon.
Rarely. Usually names. Yeah. Usually we just fuck up and say something we're not supposed to say.
I gotta tell you, man, I was thinking about what we were gonna talk about today. Yeah. I can certainly talk about the date that I went on. I have Patreon updates up the wazoo, cannot. So it's I'm like just banking them. It's ridiculous. Anyway,
yeah.
So
writing them down. I hope.
I mean, I know them in my head. They exist.
You would think that. You would think that. But there are times when I have had so many Patreon updates, and then I get there and I fully fucking forget.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. So okay. So I did have a date this week.
Mm-hmm.
Very fun, interesting guy that actually reminds me a bit – like the date energy that he gives is kind of Matt-y where I think Matt likes to – and because Matt does this with our friend group and I think he does it on dates where like Matt likes to just like – Matt kind of likes to therapy Jeff a date where he just asks like deep questions and like insightful questions and like he likes to like go in early.
Yeah.
And that this guy was kind of like that. And one of the it was a very fun date. I like really enjoyed myself. And actually I did not get into these details on the Patreon. Yeah.
Wait, do we have a nickname for this guy yet? Because on the Patreon you didn't have one yet.
Yeah. Let me percolate. Okay. Maybe once we get to the end of the story, something will appear to both of us.
Okay. Cause as previously noted, it gets really confusing when people don't understand the nicknames.
Yes, agreed. And there's a chance I see this guy again. So
yeah,
relevant to have a nickname for him. So he is traveling now in France for 2 weeks. I want to find our initial text thread because I think that okay. So we matched. This is a Bumble guy, and we matched and chatted for a little bit and somehow, like, you know, got to text, whatever.
Yeah.
Says, "Hey, Rourke, this is blank from Bumble," and it's a shorter name than the more formal name he has on Bumble. So he says, "Yes, I go by that." Yeah.
And so, like, his Facebook is his full name. Like, his Facebook is, like, this is a made-up name. His Facebook is Benjamin, but he said, "Hey, Rourke, it's Ben."
Exactly. And he goes, "I prefer Ben." "How's tomorrow or Wednesday night for jumping on a FaceTime?"
Oh.
And I said,
"Did you previously discuss that step or no?"
Nope. No. No discussion of the FaceTime. And and we can certainly discuss this. And, like, people have vastly different views on this. I don't love a pre-date FaceTime.
I'm not a huge fan either.
I have never wanted to see somebody after a pre-date FaceTime. And I have a feeling those are people that I may have had good first dates with.
Yeah. I think that – so I have. Yes. Like, the Duke comes to mind.
Sure. I feel like I made some exceptions that year.
Yeah. But, like, even after our first FaceTime, I still would – like, obviously he and I had multiple FaceTimes and I grew to actually like him across the course of, like, a month. But just for a reference, if people weren't listening then, I lived in San Diego for 3 months during, like, the height of the pandemic and was, like, FaceTime dating with people in New York.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that, like, having that FaceTime, I think the risk is higher than the reward, because I think that it is so easy to have an awkward FaceTime with somebody that you might have had a good in-person interaction with.
Yes, exactly.
Like, I can think of several FaceTimes I've had with men I'm dating that are awkward.
Yeah.
And we know each other.
And I think for me, it's a high self-conscious experience where I'm watching myself. I'm like, oh, is this a good angle? Is this good light? Like, is this – because there's something about when you're in person with somebody, you're taking in much more stimulus about them and the surroundings than you are in a FaceTime. You are just looking at their fucking face.
Yeah.
And so I think it can, like, paper – I'm not self-conscious in person. Anyway, so I asked, is this your typical – I said, is that a typical pre-date move for you to FaceTime first?
Yeah.
And he goes, so I'm not much of a texter.
Oh,
and
no.
I was like, Jesus Christ, we are right back here.
Can we create a dating app for people who like texting? I think we would have something there.
It's in fucking sane. They need a badge for it, actually. Like, yeah.
Brilliant. Like, we need something. I need to date someone who likes to text, for fuck's sake.
It's fucking insane. So anyway, so I go, sure, I didn't mean to imply texting is the solution before a date. I like to get in person and just see how it goes. That's why I was curious if – because he mentioned he was going to be traveling for a while. Like, that part, that piece I do seem to know. So I said, that's why I was curious if FaceTime was a solve for you being out of town, like a replacement, or if it was a screener. And he was in town this past week, so it was a, like, first date, like, replacement kind of thing. And I said – we basically sort of, like, butt heads a little bit about whether or not we're going to have this FaceTime. And I'm like, I'm not doing it. Like, here's – like, here are your options. Because he lives, like, relatively close. Not exactly my same neighborhood, but, like, pretty close.
Okay.
And so I was like, here's the deal, I'll strike you. I'll come to, like, close to you. Like, I'll come to your neighborhood.
Yeah.
For an in-person date on Tuesday night instead of a FaceTime. Like, I'll make this very convenient for you, but it needs to be in person. And then I said, and then if there is a second date, you have to come to my neighborhood. And he's like, deal.
That feels fair.
Yeah.
It's funny because I fully support that for you. And obviously you're not a catfish nor, like, a weirdo.
Yeah.
But I'm just imagining if somebody had written in and said, I wanted to FaceTime with this guy and he refused.
Yeah.
We would be like, don't go out with that man.
Totally. You're probably right.
We would absolutely – I mean, I know you, so, like – but, like, we would absolutely be like, danger, don't go out with him.
And I think if he had said, like, I also like to do it because I'm – I don't – like, I've had a catfish – like, something like that. I was like, I will take, like, a selfie with my thumb up. Like, I'll be like, hey – you know, like, I can prove my existence if that's a concern for you. But, like, we're either, like, getting in person or we're not dating.
That's very funny.
Anyway, so we did. And so it was kind of a running joke throughout where at various points on the date I said, so far is this better than a FaceTime? And he admitted, yeah, of course not. And at the end he was like – and I was like, say Rourke was right.
Oh, Lordy.
And he was like, you were right. This is like a lot better than a FaceTime. And I'm like, thank you. Anyway.
I am curious. I don't actually want you to ask him this, but I am curious his stats of like – how many FaceTimes have turned into dates for him?
That's a great question.
What is that success rate?
Yeah. I will ask him next time we speak. No problem.
Because I would imagine if you're –
it'll probably be in 2 weeks.
If he went on a FaceTime date with someone, if that wasn't a step for him, those all would have been first dates.
Right. Yes.
So, yeah. I'm curious to know.
So, we are talking about July 4th. He's asking me about my Austin trip. And I'm telling him what we did. And yeah, I say –
FaceTime.
Pardon?
By the way, his nickname should be FaceTime.
Oh, done. Oh, also, he has green text. And so we get in person.
Oh, so he can't FaceTime. Was he just using that as like a stand-in word?
He's using
like
it as a shorthand, yeah. So we get in person. I'm like, by the way, what was your – do you have a Mac? Like, what was your plan for FaceTiming? And he goes, oh, no, like I don't have Mac products. And I was like, okay, so you were just like using it as a stand-in. And he goes, you're the one who said FaceTime. And I'm like, no, I was not.
Did you go back and read the receipts?
He was like, wait, I want to read this. So he reads it and goes, yeah, that was me.
I mean, it is one of those words that people just use now.
Yeah, which like, is fine. I was like, I'm not taking the fall for this.
Yeah, I mean, I've done video calls in Bumble before or in Hinge.
Yeah. That would have been reason. Fine, whatever. Anyway, yeah. So – I say, you know, we did this river float, we did this boat, and then I was like, and then on this one day, we did this game day that's Love Island theme. Like, do you know Love Island? And I can't properly convey this. I'm going to try to do it with my voice, but you kind of need the body language with it.
Yeah.
Where he looks like down and to the left and looks, you know, like stricken and goes, yeah, I know Love Island.
Like he's been hurt by Love Island. Like Love Island has personally victimized him.
Exactly. Thank you so much. That was a perfect. And I go like, I'm like, oh boy. So he then follows up with saying, yeah, a friend was really into Love Island and made me watch it.
I'm sure a friend was. I'm sure they were real close friends.
Exactly. So I go, oh, is this good friend and ex-girlfriend?
Duh.
And he goes, yes. So then, of course, we established that he is emotionally unavailable. And here we fucking are. There's no indication until we got to that moment that he was in that place.
Right. Because I also think that, like, this is true of the rower as well. Similar vibe where somebody could also think that they are ready to be back out there, but then when you ask them a question in person and you see all of the body language, you see all of the emotion on their face, like it's much different than if you were to have asked that question. Like if you had mentioned Love Island in the Bumble chat, you probably would not have gotten to this reveal.
Great point. And I want to shout out Therapy Jeff here because that is – his comment that judge the level of emotion associated with the dialogue about an ex to assess whether or not a person's over it was literally as he's talking about it, Therapy Jeff's face was in my mind. Like,
you're like, emotion, emotion. I'm using my hands as alarm bells.
Yes. And that actually be a kind of a funny shirt.
Emotion. Emotion.
Emotion. Anyway, so I did follow up on it. I was like, you know, what's the deal there? Like, I'm reading something from you in this interaction. Tell me more about that. And he reveals that they have actually not dated. This girl and him have not dated for some time, but they started spending like a fucked. They basically made a pod, like a friend pod in pandemic where they were, it sounds like, emotionally very enmeshed, but were not technically like dating or being physical.
And friend pod that was just the two of them. Pod of two?
Yes.
Got it.
Yeah. So they're spending all this time together in lockdown. And then recently they have decided to go cold turkey and actually not talk, which I think is the right move.
Yeah, definitely.
It has – like they should have done this a long time ago, frankly, but whatever.
Probably, yes.
And she's moving.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So I don't love it when – when people make a decision based on an external factor where it's like, you didn't really decide, like something else kind of happened and now your choice is forced. And so, you know, with her moving, obviously that makes it a lot easier to not talk. So who the hell knows? He's in France with his family and we have not kept up texting in the interim.
Relatable.
He was very
relatable. Literally that.
Seriously, actually. different situation, different relationships.
Yes, very different.
Yes. So he, like, after the date was very clear that he wanted to go out again when he got back. And who knows? So we'll see. I am not holding my breath and we're moving right along.
Moving right along.
But it's interesting because it kind of ties into a friend. It was a friend who asked this question so that another friend of hers would see it on my Instagram, which is very funny.
Oh my God. We're getting so meta.
She asked me, what do you like about your matchmaker? Like what's been the value of that? You know, whatever. And so I responded and my answer was obviously sincere. And that is, I think to me, the biggest, like, in the biggest thing in the W column for a match for me, for the matchmaker, is that even though my three dates have not turned into a relationship at this juncture, all three of those men wanted and were ready for a serious relationship. It wasn't with me, but they want one.
Right. I feel the same. Yeah. Like, you don't have to do that screener. I also think if you are a person, well, everybody has deal breakers. So the major deal breakers are already screened for yes. you.
Yeah.
Like an example for me is that I'm not sure that I want kids and I am looking to start a partnership with somebody who is also open on that question where we can make that decision together. Somebody who's not like a hard absolutely not or a hard absolutely yes.
Yeah.
And that is a conversation that my matchmaker has with people before she matches them with me, which I then don't have to do.
Exactly. And like these things are hard to obviously, like, both of ours are buttons that you could select, right?
Yeah.
But then they fucking are wrong.
Well, yeah.
They're either not they're filled out, they're not filled out, they're right, they're wrong. Fuck it. Anyway, it's a disaster. So here we are.
Well, I also think that there's a difference as we discovered with the rower, there's a difference between wanting a relationship and being ready for that relationship.
Yes, that's true.
And while the matchmaker is not able to fully screen for readiness, because that's something that can evolve over the course of dating someone, they're at least asking some more probing questions coming from like an expert's seat.
Yes, totally. Anyway, that's all from me. You looked like you were having a banger of a weekend. What were you getting into?
Yes, I did. Lots of celebrating. So I went to a friend's birthday party on Friday night. As noted in my Instagram, my promotion went public this past weekend or past
Joe
week, rather.
Did.
Yeah. So Cindy came over. So
many people texted me. They were like, what was bleeped out in Matchmaker Maria? And I was like, oh, it's a promotion. Like it was just couldn't go back.
Oh, that's really funny. Yeah. So it's funny that I didn't realize it was getting bleeped and not just removed. I love that.
It's because of how she phrased it, where she was like, it didn't work to cut it, basically.
Yeah. But, oh, that makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. Anywho, so that went public. So Cindy came over before and we split a bottle of champagne and then we went to this birthday party. It was super fun. We actually ended up doing karaoke. We did not know the bar had it. Neither did the birthday girl. Karaoke Unreal. Follows me. I manifested in my life.
Yeah.
Very fun. And then the next day we went to what turned out to be, I think, another birthday party, but we were just invited by a friend to his friend's apartment who I've met once. And It was very fun. I felt like I was back in college, though. Like, the first thing Cindy and I got there, and the first thing game we decided to play was who is the next oldest person.
Oh, always a classic in new group situations.
So we knew, obviously we know our friend's age. He's like a little bit younger than us, but in his 30s. And so is the guy who lives there. But we were like, besides that, what do we think? And we estimated it was about 27, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so not your people, but like a fun time.
It was super fun. There were a lot of drinking games, which we know I love. There was a keg stand.
Dear God. I believe there were multiple keg stands.
Yeah. I actually helped someone do it because there was a wager that was put on Survivor Flip Cup that was involved in. I actually agreed to this wager. I didn't think I was going to lose, but I agreed to this wager where it ended up, if you ever played Survivor Flip Cup, where like whatever team loses votes someone off.
Yes.
So it was a very back and forth situation, and I ended up being the last person on our team drinking, I think it was 6 cups, drinking and flipping 6 cups in a row against one guy on the other side drinking and flipping 6 cups in a row.
That's insane.
And so he wagered to me that whoever won or whoever lost had to do a keg stand.
Oh my God. I would not accept those terms. Good for you.
I was feeling pretty good about it because my team had been winning, and so he had to do that 3 times already.
Oh, he was, yeah, okay.
So I was feeling pretty good about it. I'm also good at Flip Cup, but also just based on where he was at. So I did it.
Also, you could have, you had a good indication of his performance.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So I was one of the people holding him up on the keg stand, not actually doing the keg stand.
Supportive, kind, clap.
Yes.
Always.
Yes. So it was quite fun, though. We had a good day.
That is fun.
But all that dating is not dating related. Mm-hmm. I have that many dating updates because I haven't seen nor have I really spoken to the disco ball since we last recorded.
Yeah. So let's like talk a little bit about this where like to the degree that you're comfortable, obviously. Cause I think that, you know, something that we did share some more, we shared more details than we probably will share here about this on the live Patreon. And definitely. I think something that happened that you did well that you might want to level set here is kind of like the Amy Chan like shit talk circle. Do you want to take it from there?
Yeah. So in the live Patreon, when I told the update that I'm about to give here, there was a lot of very well-intentioned, very mm-hmm. supportive chatter in the chat in our live Patreon. That was, I don't know that they were like, I wouldn't call it bashing per se.
Agreed.
Because it wasn't like super negative, but it was definitely like hedging toward a like fuck that guy kind of mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Not that aggressive, but like heading in that way. In the same way that I think when we give updates to our friends about something that has happened that maybe we're frustrated by or that's not great, et cetera, or we're going through a breakup, like our friends are very quick to be those supportive hype cheerleaders. And being like, you're amazing, fuck that, you deserve better, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And that's not always helpful in those moments.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
And I think especially because I am not in a fuck that guy mentality about this situation. And I also am not in a – I'm not looking for input on how to handle the situation either. And I think a lot of times we can end up overvaluing other people's opinions about our feelings.
Totally.
And it happens in those kind of hype circles.
Yep. Definitely. And I think also like you can be disappointed in the status quo today while also thinking of how you want to handle it, fix it, address it, whatever, without being like, fuck this, you know, et cetera.
Yeah. Exactly. So as I talked about in our last recording, he went down to DC last weekend to get his stuff. Something that I had not talked about previously on there is that I had found out that I had gotten promoted.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him about it because he on our date, I knew that it was probably coming. And so on our date, I had told him, you know, I think I'm going to get promoted in the next few weeks, but I'm not entirely sure. Also, my condo contract was pending, the other people's signatures. And so I had called him when I found out and said, like, I'm out celebrating some really exciting news. What are you up to? And he was like, oh my God, did you get promoted or did your condo contract go through?
And both, I was like, baby.
Fucking both. Happened on the same day. What a time to be alive. He was out in the city with friends, so I couldn't meet up with him at that moment. But he was like, I want to take a dinner to celebrate, etc. He went to DC that weekend. Then we were texting a little bit on Monday. And as I talked about, we talked a lot on his trip down to DC. We ended up talking on the phone for a while on his drive back. Like, all of that felt really good. And like, mm-hmm. he wanted me to be a part of his day-to-day life kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which is part of the dynamic shift that I was curious about when he moved here, is we are now able to be part of each other's day-to-day lives in a different way. And what might that look like?
Yes.
So that had felt really good on Sunday. We were texting back and forth on Monday, and I had sent him a text that I went into more detail about on the Patreon. That he didn't reply to.
Yeah, the Patreon is where we read the receipts.
Yeah, we read the receipts on the Patreon. I sent him a text on Monday afternoon, evening-ish, that he didn't reply to,
mm-hmm.
that really required a response. And so the next morning, I followed up on it in kind of like a cheeky way, and he like immediately responded to that, I think realized that he should have replied. And then let me know that he has like a crazy work week. He's got a bunch of his clients in town. It's like a big conference that's happening here. And so I was like, okay. Like, and I basically like jokingly said, you know, I'm open to how you're going to make it up to me.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, he agreed, et cetera. That was Tuesday and we haven't talked since then. It's now Sunday. Which also something else that I had to shut down in the chat yesterday was people being like, it's Saturday. I'm like, yeah, I know what day it is.
Yes. That's like when people tell you, oh my God, you are so sunburned. Bitch, I know. I feel it.
Like my whole face is red. I'm aware. Yeah, exactly. I'm like,
Matt,
yes.
Matt made the critical error of not wearing sunscreen because it was cloudy.
Ooh.
His arms are no bueno. Anyway.
Yeah. So like, yes, I'm aware. I'm aware that was Tuesday and now it's Saturday. I have a calendar.
Correct. I've counted the days. But no.
I've counted the days.
This is objectively disappointing. You know,
yes.
I think that – and you and I have talked about it offline. And I think that my take like very much still stands, which is that he has now moved to the city of the place where a girl that he likes lives. And – I think we want to know that he wants to continue that and
need
to be in the driver's seat to some degree about your momentum and cadence of hang.
Fully. Yeah. And we might not be on the same page in what we want that momentum to look like.
Sure.
He might be – one of the things that I was worried about – not like super actively, but one of the things that had occurred to me that I actually told him when we were dating before or when we were on a date before is that he might move to New York City and be overstimulated, overwhelmed, like excited by this new life, mm-hmm. not necessarily from a dating perspective, although that could be too,
yeah.
but also from just like the stimulus of living in this new place that he's wanted to live in for so long for the first time.
Yes.
And all the things that he wants to do and all the friends he wants to now, he can now hang out with and going to the office every day and all that stuff. These are reasons, not excuses, to be clear. Like,
yeah.
Not saying like, and he's welcome to want to do all those things. But if we're not on the same page, I want to have that conversation.
Yes. Because even though all of that is going on for him, you still deserve to be a priority on that list if he wants to continue this relationship.
Yes, exactly. And this week I did not feel that way. I felt very unimportant this week. Continue to feel very unimportant.
Totally fair.
And that's not how I want to feel. So I do feel really strongly that it is on him to follow up given our last conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want to – and I don't want to have this conversation over text message either.
Definitely not. I would not – I think that is not the place.
No. So whether that's in person if he wants to go out or if, you know, I might initiate a phone call. If not, I don't know. Future me problem. I'm not sure.
Indeed.
But yeah, it is disappointing. But it remains to be seen of whether we can come back from it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, with breath that is bated.
Yeah. So We shall see. In the meantime, like, I am still on the apps. I was never not.
Yeah.
You know, obviously I ended things with the other two people, but not because I wanted to go forward, be exclusive with the disco ball, but more because I knew that those two connections were not it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So, you know, maybe I'll go on a first date again. Maybe not. We'll see.
Yeah. 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 Well, great. That actually leads us nicely into the weird or not, which is not topic related, but still a question that we have confronted in our lives.
Yes. And inspired by something that very recently happened with the disco ball.
Yeah.
And I want to get the wording right because, as we know, wording really matters when people are on voting these, on yeah. these. Okay. This week's weird or not is they update their dating app profile with a photo that they sent you.
Okay. So this one is a perfect, to me, example of testing the limits of weird, quote unquote, and undesirable.
Yes.
So this would be undesirable. It's one of those things where, as we discussed when it happened to you, it is undesirable, yet like pot kettle black, baby. You know, it's like
– I literally did it.
Exactly.
Both me and the disco ball have done this.
Yep. And so it's like one of those where you're probably going to send – if you're trying to be like – you know, Matchmaker Maria talked about this, like a flirty, cute picture, right? If you're going to send somebody a flirty, cute picture, it means you probably have a good one on your camera roll that you might want to fucking put on your dating profile.
Yeah, and like it's a good picture. The one that I sent the disco ball that I put on my profile, it's a good picture.
Yes, yes, it is.
His is not.
I totally agree. I think I know the one that you posted, right? Is it the white dress?
No, I used the red dress one.
Oh, the red dress one. Okay, got it.
Yeah, yeah. Similar golden hour
yeah.
in Italy type of thing.
Yeah. Oh, nice. I don't think this is like, I don't think this is technically weird. And yet if I caught it on somebody, I would be like, kind of gut, you know, I wouldn't feel great. So I'm going to say this is 40 weird, 60 not weird, because I think that that's kind of how this like comes out in the wash, that some people might say that it's not desirable, but on the whole, it's going to be nah.
So it's not. It is more weird than nah.
Oh, interesting.
But it is so fucking close. It is 52 weird and 48 nah.
Okay, that is like a coin flip. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Completely.
And am I right about the reasons at all that people think it's undesirable?
Yeah. So a lot of people just said – I'm like battling with Logan right now.
I know. This is hilarious.
yeah. So a lot of people said like this one sort of exemplifies what a lot of people said. Oh, where did it go? Oh, I don't actually know if it's weird, but I highly dislike it.
Yep, totally.
And that person voted weird.
Right, yes.
So, or somebody said, not really weird, but be more original, send me something else. I don't like it. And other people acknowledge that like, it's not weird, but it would trigger something for me.
And you know what's interesting? Matchmaker Maria specifically said, if you're going to do this, it should be one not on your dating profile.
Yeah, she did say that. Like a photo that they can't see anywhere else.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and it did trigger something for me when I saw that Disco Ball had updated with that photo. He's also updated his location a couple times. Like he updated his Hinge location when he signed his new apartment. And now recently he updated it again to like a more specific, it's a better version of what he originally put. I think now that he lives here, he knows what neighborhood he should put.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which means that he changed it since he moved here. I shouldn't keep looking, but I do because I'm a masochist.
Yeah, I was going to say, girl, you're making yourself crazy here.
I know. But in any case, I think that it obviously did trigger something in me, but at the same time, like, I fucking did it. So what can I say?
Yeah, totally. All right. Well, that was a good one. I liked that one.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's like very – that it happens all the time. Mm-hmm. And to be clear, even though I'm recognizing that it triggers something in me, I am not reading into it that it means anything about how he's feeling about me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I did the same fucking thing and I feel how I feel.
Right. Exactly.
I just know that we are not exclusive yet, or maybe we won't be. We're not in a relationship. Therefore, I am still open and out there.
Mm-hmm.
And keeping myself updated.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah. I also recently, I'm just, as we're telling the story, I'm realizing that I recently updated my like main photo on both because I hadn't changed my photo in a really long time. A really long time. I think it was like 8 months, but I hadn't changed my main photo, and it is a photo that I took before my last date with him.
Oh, that's so funny. Like a, is it a selfie or like a?
It is a selfie, but you can't really tell that it is.
Yeah.
It's like far enough away. It's one of the ones that I take to like show my makeup before I leave.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's not one that I sent him, but I'm on my way to meet him. I'm wearing the outfit that he last saw me in.
That is hilarious. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you really can't say anything.
No, I'm just real. I just realized that as I said that out loud, it's like slightly different, but
it is, but it's, you know, damn close.
Yeah. But exemplifies the fact that, you know, that I did that because I am trying to keep my profile updated with the best and most recent photos of me,
mm-hmm.
even though I really like this guy
yeah.
and would love for it to develop into something where I am no longer on dating apps.
Mm-hmm.
It's not there yet and maybe won't be.
Yeah.
But while that's the case, I'm still keeping myself in fighting shape, if you will.
Totally. As you fucking should. Let's go.
Yeah.
Before we get to topic talk, we should talk about our lovely sponsor, Apostrophe.
Yes. Speaking of keeping myself in fighting shape.
Yeah. Great point.
I need to re-up mine. I'm almost out. And I think that – so I've been loving it. And it's actually, I think, been helping with my rosacea,
mm-hmm.
the like azelaic acid one that I've been using. I think I'm going to do one that has more tretinoin in it for a little bit more like fine line fighting next
time. Nice. Yeah. I've been really happy since – I noticed after Austin that I had a little bit of like dark spotting on my forehead from, I think just like the sun exposure of like the boat, the float, all of it. And since coming back, I've gotten it to tamp down. And I believe the tretinoin did that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. And so I am, very grateful for our friends at Apostrophe and, like you said, plan on re-upping as well.
Yeah. And it's super easy to re-up because it's all done online and you can like, you know, do the consultation and submit pictures and, you know, they'll basically tailor to your needs and what you're looking for. And we have a special deal for our audience. You can save $15 off your first visit with an Apostrophe provider at apostrophe.com/FMH when you use our code FMH. And this code is only available to our listeners. So very special deal.
It's tough. It's a bit of a tricky word to spell. So that's apostrophe, apostrophe.com/FMH. And then use the code FMH to get your dermatologist crafted treatment plan for only $5. And thanks Apostrophe again for sponsoring us.
Yes. Thank you. I'm very excited to re-up and continue my skin journey with them.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, Erica, but I have always been a PMS girly. Like that week before I get my period, even though I don't actually get a period anymore because of my IUD, the week when I would get it, I have always had just hormones all over the place, cravings, it's cramps, just all sorts of stuff. And it's been so much easier to manage my PMS with Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth.
So one thing I really like about this company is so many health studies they don't reveal has only been done on men. So I love a company that is actually making products not only designed for women, but is also testing them with women. Makes a huge, huge difference. Taking the Hormone Harmony isn't just for like menopause. I feel like we hear hormones and people think like, oh, that's not for me. But it can work for all of us at any age. Whether you do still have those night sweats, right? You don't have to have menopause to be hot at night, all right? That's your girl all the time. Racing thoughts and low moods, maybe poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, or the occasional bloating or gas. Hormone Harmony can help you with all of these things.
Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. And the beauty of those is they help the body adapt to any stressors, like those chaotic hormonal change that we're talking about, or any of those issues that you mentioned. The biggest benefit is just feeling like myself all the time and not having these like ups and downs.
If you're interested in getting something like this into your routine, you should definitely check them out. And we have a limited time deal for you. You can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com and just use the code FMH at checkout.
All right, bad dates, baby.
Bad dates, part two. So last time we spoke a lot about like being on the date.
Yeah.
And I think, or like the beginning of the date, realizing that it's not a match or realizing that you, you know, want to get out of there.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question? Because you've now posted the reel where you kind of reshare this bad date story. And I know that there was a lot of feedback and kind of virality to the first time you shared it. What's been the feedback?
Almost nothing.
Oh, interesting.
In that way. I think because I didn't – obviously, I told the full story on the pod.
Yeah.
The reel does not include the full story.
Oh, okay.
A lot of the things that I – it just couldn't, just from a timing perspective. Yeah. A lot of the things that I got feedback on, they were like ridiculous things, but they aren't in the reel because they aren't important. Like the number one thing that people were mad about when I originally posted the story was that I didn't want to eat dinner.
Right. Absurd.
They were like, why did you go to on this date if you had – why did you eat dinner before the date was like the number one question I got. Like
I regularly do that.
Yes. It was a drinks date. It wasn't a dinner date. It'd be weird if I agreed to a dinner date and then ate dinner beforehand. Yeah, that'd
agreed,
be weird.
Yes.
Though still not the takeaway on a story about a man who followed me home.
Yes, all true. By the way, a friend of mine was like live texting during listening and she was like, oh my God, this keeps getting worse. This is fucking insane. She was like losing it.
It does keep getting worse. But like, and that was part of my point too of like, even if it was supposed to be a dinner date and I ate before, that would be weird objectively. Still, you're listening to this story about this woman who felt unsafe on a date and was followed home. And the only question follow up that you have is why did you eat dinner beforehand? As if I hadn't have eaten dinner, then all of this would have been fine and it would have been – we're dating now.
The trolls always ask the burning questions.
I know. So anyway, no, I did not really get any feedback on it. I also like got out ahead of it on Instagram, although TikTok is where I was more worried, but I got out ahead of it.
TikTok's a less safe place.
TikTok is not a safe place. Where I said like – and as we said on the last episode, whatever you need to do to make yourself feel safe and become more safe – like that, those decisions made sense for you. Like the decisions that I made sense for me at the time. Even if looking back, there are places where I'm like, oh, maybe if that happened again, I would do something a little bit differently. It made sense to me at the time. And that's what mattered to me.
Totally.
But so let's put aside now dates where we don't feel safe.
Yes.
Right? Like now we're just talking about like dates where you just think it's not a match. You know, you don't think you want to go out again with this person. One of the questions – and so we talked a lot about boundary setting in terms of, you know, how to leave. Literally just leave. Say that you need to go.
Yeah. I have gotten trapped on a – I was on a date where I was like – it was a bad date in the sense of I really don't want to be hanging out with this person anymore.
Yeah.
I was like fantasizing about being home, watching Vanderpump Rules. You know, I won't be anywhere but here. And – I believe actually this happened last, I think this was like last June, I think, because I believe that I was studying for the bar. And so I didn't drink for that period, except for like on very rare occasion, because I wanted to wake up just like fully ready to study and go. And so I had like a one drink limit for myself on this date. And I believe he got three drinks.
Oh, read the room, buddy.
Yes. Where I had one and I was like, you know, like I said, I kind of like have to study. And that's on me for having that thin boundary, right? I should have been like, as a reminder, I need to go after this, you know?
Yeah.
Not personal, but I got to go. Personal. Yeah.
But you would have had to go regardless at that point in your life.
Exactly. And this man keeps – he's like, oh, well, I'm having a good time. Like, let's like – I'll get another round.
No.
So bad.
That wasn't an option.
So bad. And this guy fucking circles back so often and it drives me wild.
Oi.
Yeah. There's a real reading the room problem here.
Yeah. I have previously – I don't always do this, but oftentimes – I don't even know if oftentimes is the right word. Whatever. Sometimes when I'm planning out a first date, like a drinks date, I will mention something – that I'm doing afterwards in advance.
Yes.
Like, oh yeah, drink sounds perfect. I have dinner plans at 9.
Yes.
Or, you know, whatever it is. And most of the time, people are totally cool with that. I occasionally have had people push back to be like, oh, well, let's pick a night when you don't have to be somewhere else.
Okay.
And then I'm like, no, I don't want to.
Yeah. No, I want that night.
I want the end.
Yeah.
But that doesn't usually happen. I think most of the time people are very on board that I've experienced. People are very on board with a first date that is just intended to get together, see if there might be a connection here, to then go on a potentially longer and more in-depth second date.
Yeah. Totally. Which is my vast preference, and which is why I now often I'm like, yeah, like I'll probably, you know, I can definitely carve out like time for a drink, but then I, you know, do have to go back to work or something. So like I say that a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that makes total sense. And then you have that planned clear exit, which by the way, you can decide to abandon.
Exactly. Which is why work works really well. It's a little different if you have true, it's like, I'm going to blow up
reservations.
My,
yeah. I'm going to bail on my friends to hang out with you.
Yeah. Which is a bad precedent to set.
Very bad precedent to set. Yeah. Work does work, because then you're like, oh, I just won't do that right now. I could do it in the morning or whatever it is.
Yeah. So then, okay. So you're having a bad time. Is there a date script, an IRL script for, I don't want a second drink. I'm out.
I think that there is typically a moment where the bartender comes by, the server comes by, whatever it is. And they like do that kind of, oh, how are we doing here?
Yep.
And I usually make sure I'm the first person to speak. And I say like, oh, I'm okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I hopefully the other person is not like, I'm going to order another one like your person was.
Right. That's what happened. I was like, oh, I'm good. And then he was like, no problem. I'll have another beer. I was like, what? That's not what that cue was. And so that's what I'm saying. Like, how do we get how do we make this a little more explicit, maybe, if we need to?
I think what I would say is, oh, like, I'm okay, thank you, and then turn to my date and say, should we get the check?
Mm-hmm.
?
Yes, that's good. That's good.
It's a rhetorical question that really means we should get the check.
I like that. I think here you could maybe re-up potentially like what your guardrail was on time, where
yeah,
I might say,
had one, yeah.
Yeah, where like I might say, oh no, I'm good. We should wrap up. I got to get back to work, unfortunately.
Yeah, totally. But I think if you say like, oh, should we get the check? Then it kind of, I think, invites them into the decision.
I like that.
Even though they were not part of the decision.
Correct. The thing is, though, like, I guess if you're having like a truly bad date, like, do you care?
I think so, because I don't want them to, assuming that they're a nice person, just
sure,
not my person.
Sure, sure, sure. Okay, that's a fair point, yeah.
I don't want them to feel shitty.
Yes.
That, yeah, like, I want to stop hanging out with this person so badly that I am going to do anything I can to cut and run right now. Like, I don't want somebody to come away. I would never want to feel that way if the situation were reversed.
Great point. You know what? I'm actually having a memory about a bad date where, wow, I'd completely forgotten about this. Where this guy, I made him so nervous, he threw up. Yeah.
What?
Mm-hmm.
How did you know that? Did he tell you
he threw up?
Or did he?
Yeah. It was he went to the restaurant bathroom and puked.
What's weirder? Puking or telling your date about it?
Uh-huh. And telling them it's their fault.
that's the weirdest part. The weirdest part is that you know this information.
Yeah.
So he literally came back and said, you made me so nervous I threw up?
Yes. Not in those literal exact words, but yes, 100%.
What did he say? What were the words?
I'm trying to remember now. It was much more rambly. So it was like, I'm so sorry.
He
like,
was nervous.
Exactly. He was like, I'm so sorry about that. Like, I didn't mean to like be gone so long. I like, you know, I was like kind of like anxious about this date. You like seem really great. And like, it made me very nervous. Like, it was just like very rambly. And he was like,
I threw up.
Yes. And he's like, and like sometimes like that like level of like nervousness just makes you throw up. And like, I had to like go do it.
Oh, my heart goes out to this person.
100%. And so that's a good example of I did not want to hurt this person.
No.
But I did not want to see him again either.
No. Wow. There's some stuff to work through there.
Yes.
Yeah, that's never happened to me. like that someone has said that.
Yeah.
I have puked on a date before, not out of nervousness.
Oh, were you sick?
Yeah.
Oh,
there was a couple years ago, maybe longer. It was before Finding Mr. Height. I like something that we ate at dinner, like did not sit well with me. And I didn't tell him though. I like puked in the middle of the date, came back. I think I'd probably looked like I'd been crying, but he didn't say anything. Cause you know how your eyes tear when you puke.
Yes.
Ended up seeing him again.
Oh, wow. Way to bounce back.
I don't think he knew that I puked in the middle of the date. felt great afterwards. I think it was a little bit of like cross-contamination from nuts.
That makes sense. Anyway. Yeah. So like I didn't want to then immediately like get myself off that date, right? I wanted to make him feel good and comfortable. And I you know, was very much like, oh my gosh, like I'm sorry that's bit like I'm sorry that I'm sorry you're feeling that way. I hope I'm not coming off as trying to put like, you know, whatever. I hope I'm not making you nervous. Like this is just dinner. Like I tried to like make it copacetic and then I was like, let's go.
Yeah. Okay. So that is potentially how you like end the date.
Yes.
What happens if somebody asks you on a second date at the end of the first date and you know, you don't want to go?
So this is where I think you stack a white lie with an Ally text script where you say like, that'd be great. I don't really know my schedule right now, but text me and we'll figure it out. So kick the can down the line to a texting scenario and then use the, you know, upon like, I'm so sorry that I initially said yes to the idea of a second date, but upon reflection, this is not the romantic connection I'm looking for. I hope you... You know, I wish you luck out there.
Yeah. I have said no in person before.
Oh my God. Good for you. I would.
In times where, well, I think that's totally valid. I felt in the couple of situations where I said no in person, one was the traveler that we talked about last week. He was just a dick. So that I was like, fuck you. No, absolutely not.
Yes.
I didn't say it that way, but like I had no qualms.
He deserved it.
With,
should. Yeah. Should you have.
Yeah. But another time was where I just felt pretty comfortable in the situation. And I also, based on my read of him, didn't think that he was going to react in a way, in a bad way.
Yeah.
Because that I think is something as women who date men that like comes into play as well, unfortunately, is like if I turn this person down in person, will that lead to an unsafe situation? Because for some people it might.
Certainly. But to clarify my own perspective, I am not saying this out of a safety concern. I'm saying it out of I would like to avoid the awkwardness of this in-person interaction right now.
Yeah, which I think is okay. Like I understand that. And it's actually one of the reasons why I don't recommend that people do a hard ask out at the end of a date that way, because it just puts so much pressure on the situation.
Yeah. I can see that.
Like, it's one thing to say, like, this was fun. We should do it again sometime. And then you can be like, yeah, totally.
Absolutely.
It's another thing. Like, the journalist did this after our first date, and I did want to go out with him again, but and yet still felt pressured. He asked me out on a specific night at the end of our first date.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He said, like, I'd love to go out with you again. But I think he had a lot going on the next week, so he knew that he was only free on, like, call it Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, I have a really crazy week next week, but I would love to go out with you again. Are you free on Tuesday to go on another date? Like as we were saying goodbye on a street corner.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a lot where I'd be like, oh, let me get out my phone. Let me look. Like, hey, I would have felt a little scrambly from that. However, if I was into somebody, I think I would totally be into that initiative.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the risk that people are taking, right? And like, you're going to put somebody in an awkward position if they're not sure.
Yeah.
And I even like had already decided I would go out with him again. And I still felt awkward and scrambly.
Yeah.
And said no. I mean, not no, but I said like, I was like, I think so.
Yeah.
Like, can you text me that? And then I'll look, you know, I just didn't want to deal with like getting my whole calendar out right there on the street corner.
Totally. Yeah. Because I would have been like, wait, I have like, here, wait, hold one phone while I look at the other phone.
Yeah, like I just have, there's just like a lot that goes into figuring out if I'm free on a night, you know? Totally. Like, let me make sure there's nothing I haven't put in my calendar that I'm not thinking about. Need a little more reflection time.
Yeah.
So that I think, but I like that idea of kind of the in-person, you know, vague response leading to the text script, which basically says, you know, I'm sorry I didn't realize this sooner, but upon reflection, I've, you know, decided that I don't think this is a match and I don't think it makes sense to go out again.
Yeah. And so question for you, and this is like a little bit of like a more existential question, I think, like, what is a bad date, right? Where does it mean like you're not a match? Does that mean this person, like, what does it mean to be on a bad date? And what warrants evaluating somebody as like, this might have not been your best performance. I will see you again. I will give you another chance to, you know, be less nervous or to do, you know, X, Y, Z, whatever. And yeah. Like, oh no, this, no point.
I think that's a good existential question that maybe we should have answered at the beginning of the series, as I'm upon reflection.
Yeah.
But I don't think, when I think about having a bad date, it is not just, oh, not my person, don't think it's a match, don't want to go out again. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily consider that a bad date. Because another a question that we got a couple times is seeing the positive in quote unquote bad dates. And I think that even dates that I go on where I realize that that person is not a match for me, I've learned something.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason they're not a match for me. And that is data that I'm collecting.
Totally. Yes. Which is why I rarely view first dates as a waste of time.
No, and almost never.
Yeah.
I think that for me to call something a bad date, they have to have done something that actively makes me feel bad, unsafe, angry,
mm-hmm.
some like negative emotion.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Not being attracted to somebody is not a negative emotion. It's like fully neutral.
Totally. It's just a bummer.
Yeah, just a bummer. Like, oh, yeah. Bummer. Like, that date's not going to turn into a second date. That doesn't make it bad. Like, something Correct. Has to have actively happened where I'm like, wow, I wish that I had not spent time with that person.
Yes, agreed. And I think
I think how I define it.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. And I think that, like, it is rarely a pattern of bad dates that I think lead to dating burnout. It's more just sort of like disappointing dates or yes. non-connection dates that lead to burnout.
Right. Like lack of second dates, yes. I think leads to burnout. Or lack yeah. of – the other thing before you even get on a date I think that leads to burnout is like, it, you know, swiping that doesn't go anywhere or messaging that never gets to a date
mm-hmm.
in that same way. Like the thing that leads to burnout I think is like connections that don't continue.
Yeah. And then – we do get this question a lot, and I think we probably feel like we've talked about dating burnout a good amount, but just in this kind of brief context, how do you kind of like hype after maybe you've gone on kind of, and this actually happened to me recently where I had like four like bummer dates in a row and yeah. I was not in a great headspace. And like, how do you psych yourself back up?
I first of all think that it is totally valid to not want to do that right away. I think that people have this mentality that they're like, I got to get back out there. I got to stay out there
mm-hmm.
actively pursuing things, even if I'm feeling a little meh about my last few experiences. Give yourself permission to take a little bit of a break.
Mm-hmm.
And a break doesn't mean, you know, delete your dating apps. I'm not dating right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like give yourself permission to not actively swipe maybe for a few days, a week, a couple weeks, whatever it is.
Yeah.
If that's going to make you feel better. I, though, like to focus on when I'm feeling like, ugh, you know, the last few dates I've been on have been lackluster, whatever it is. I like to think back to the last couple of good first dates that I went on.
That's a great strategy.
To then say, if I had those good first dates, I will have another one.
She will rise again.
She will. And like I've thought about that, too, in this whole situation with the disco ball. This hallway situation is absurd.
Is it still ongoing? I definitely can't hear
it. Yeah. I think he's power washing the hallway floor.
Oh, that is not ideal. It's okay. We're like almost done anyway, so it's fine.
Yeah, we are. Yeah. What was I going to say? Oh, so I've thought about that in my situation with the disco ball, actually, mm-hmm. where would it be disappointing if it turns out we're not on the same page in terms of like what we're available for right now, and therefore I move along because he doesn't want to pursue it at the same rate that I do?
Yeah.
100%. Very disappointing in a probably a similar level of disappointing as the rower, I would say.
I agree. Yes. I think that's really fair.
I would be really upset. That would suck. But the disco ball was my example after the rower of how I will go on another good first date. When yep. I went on my first date with the disco ball, one of my biggest takeaways was, wow, that was a great first date. There are great first dates out there for me.
Mm-hmm. Like, wow, that was fun.
Yeah, that was really fun. And I was in a bit of a funk at the time because after the rower, I went on a few not great connection first dates.
Right.
Like that man who took a sip of my drink while I was in the bathroom.
Oh, God. Yes. Never forget.
Yeah.
And tongue man.
And tongue man.
Brutal.
So that's what I like to focus back on. So if things were to end with the disco ball, in my head, I would be like, well, I met him.
Mm-hmm.
I will meet someone else.
Yeah.
And that someone else will be – I'll be one step closer to meeting someone else who is on the same page as I am.
Love it. And I certainly agree. And that's the way I feel too.
I hope it doesn't have to happen, obviously. Like it would be great if this were to develop into something.
Yeah.
But if it does, then it does.
Yeah. Namaste.
Namaste.
Very zen.
I do – the one thing before we sign off,
mm-hmm.
you mentioned something that we got a couple questions about, which is how do you know or determine if it's a one-off bad date or not a good match? Like you said of, you know, okay, let's give it another shot or – that was not
right. So I really like what actually what my matchmaker has said, where she has encouraged me to, if you can find three non-physical qualities that you like about them that match with what you want for your partner, that is worth a second date.
Oh.
Yeah.
I like
if you can identify like they're super passionate about X and like I love dating people who have passion. They seem really family oriented and, you know, clearly carving out time for friends and family is important to them. That like that read to me. Or like they have he was really thought like I said this about the date that ended up not going well, but one of my matchmaker dates I said was really thoughtful. Like I liked that he texted me before and said like, FYI, there's not valet at this restaurant, but there is a garage this corner. And I thought that was like really lovely forethought into like what my needs like or concerns might be in LA, like trying to show up on time for a date. And totally. So like, you know, can you name things like that? And like, they cannot be like, he was so hot. And so I think that is my barometer where like I actually, even though that was not a good date, I identified those about him and I would have been open to a second one because he was so monologue-y.
Right.
I was willing to say maybe that was nerves. You know, some people get chatty, some people get quiet, people handle nerves differently. And so I was very much willing to say like, let's see if it's a little bit more evenly distributed on a second date. He never circled back, which is fine, but like absolutely fine. But in theory, that's why I was willing to go on a second date there.
Yeah. Wait, on that note, you won't or haven't gotten feedback about Greg, right? You only get feedback after the first date?
Correct.
Holy shit. Guess who just texted me?
Oh my God. Wait, my stomach just fell out my butt. Did Disco Ball text you?
Yup.
What does he have to say for himself? We can cut any of this if you want.
He said, hey, how's your weekend going? Sent me a picture of his bed and said a week of waiting and 3.5 hours of assembly later.
Okay. How do you want to respond?
I don't know.
I feel like that doesn't quite address where we're at.
It doesn't address it at all. But to be fair, I do not want to address it in text message.
Yes.
at all, actually. Like, as I'm like thinking about it, I don't think that I want to respond with anything about how this week has made me feel, because I don't want to get into that conversation via text.
Correct. I think the goal of him being with his phone right now and engaging in an exchange is to find a time to get in person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to be overly effusive.
Yes.
Like, oh my God, hi. Like, no.
Yeah.
No. But I don't, but I'm also not going to do a, like, I'm sulking, but I'm going to wait for you to ask me about it move.
Good. Yeah. No need to, you know, pretend.
No, I think just normal. Just yeah. Normal response. And then, yeah, I think the goal is to get in person to talk about it, because I very much don't want to do it via text message. I want his face.
Yes. And I think you want
conversation.
Agreed. And I think this is a good example. And as you know, I sometimes like things over text because it gives you the ability to percolate. I think you want this to be an in the moment conversation, where I think you want him to have a little less time to craft and kind of.
Yeah. And I also want to be able to read his body language and read his tone.
Yes.
And like feel how he's, you know, responding. And also so the other time that I did have, and then I know we're running over and I also have to get ready for brunch, but the other time that I had texted him about a like long gap,
mm-hmm.
I felt a lot of anxiety while waiting for him to respond to it.
Mm-hmm.
And he responded in the most amazing way, as I noted and as we've talked about.
Yeah.
But I didn't – that feeling sucked.
Yes. So don't even subject yourself to that position. Yeah.
No. Like, I want to do it in person.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm eager for you to keep me posted on this.
Yes. I have more to say, but I'll do it after we hit stop.
Perfect. All right. Well, on that hopeful note, we leave the listeners.
Goodbye, dear listeners. This has been a wild ride.
It really has.
In the show notes, you'd be like, say to the fucking end, people.
Yeah, yeah. This really, like, this is like, it's like the sixth sense where it's at the end, it all gets revealed.
Yes, like unintentional bury the lead podcast.
Yeah, totally.
Alrighty. Oh, man.
Good stuff.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye.